Hey, when I get confused, I just say happy birthday. Maria, it's good to see you here today. Good to see you. You're looking good, getting big. Good to see you. Yep. Well, I'm forced not to talk about health today, so I'm not going to talk about health. But we're going to look into mothers. Some interesting facts this morning that I found out about the Mother Mary, who brought forth our Savior, and how God used her as a vessel to bring him into the world, and the glory goes to him and not to Mary. Not to take anything for what Mary did, but we can see how the Lord this morning used Mary for that purpose. We're also going to look at the people that kind of worship Mary, which they shouldn't be doing that. Right? Gene? Get a little confused, not kind of getting into words. So, if you have your Bibles, let me just make sure. I don't know. Isn't this wonderful? I just lost my... Okay, no, I didn't. We're going to start off in Luke. Luke chapter 1. And I'll read this chapter, and we're going to just go, and we'll go from there. But it's just, it's the announcement of Mary, of Gabriel the angel, starting this whole thing off with asking the Lord to bring forth Jesus. And we start off at number 26, 126. Christ's birth announced to Mary. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Gabriel is more of the messenger angel out there that announces things or brings forth good news or bad news to people in the Bible. That's what his role is here. Sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Comes from the line of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. In other words, highly favored. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I mean, if you think about it, anybody probably would be, you know, what's going on here? You know, what are you talking about? What are you doing? I mean, I don't know what you're here for and what you're trying to tell me. But she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I'll just stop right there. I mean, the creator of all heavens and the earth. And can you imagine him knocking on your door and saying, hey, you're special to me. I want to use you. And personally interacts with you and says, you know, I want to use you. That's hard to kind of get in your head that he would do something. But this actually happened. I mean, God's God. He's amazing. So the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and she'll call his name Jesus. Well, that's powerful too. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What encouraging words we're reading here this morning. Then Mary said to the angel, well, how can this be? Because I don't know a man. Excellent question. Right? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Now indeed, also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived your son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Man, that's another great one. There's nothing impossible with God, no matter what it is, whatever you think about, it's not impossible. With God, all things are possible. With man, things are impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidenservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So we're getting a picture of how this has started out, that Mary is going to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she did, Mary had brought forth a perfect son. But her life as a mother was filled with sadness of life in the flesh. Like every other mother, she still needed a Savior to rescue her from the demands and worries of motherhood. In her case, her Savior was her son. And before I go into the next verse, I'm going to read these lyrics that I just was researching. These are great lyrics. I mean, if you really think about this, these are the lyrics of the Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know? Very, very powerful lyrics. I don't know really who wrote it, but I'll just read some of them and then we'll get back to the message. It says, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you." It's amazing, isn't it? Just the thought of this. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of Almighty God." Man, that gets me every time, just that alone. Can you imagine that? Kissing the face of the Creator of the universe. "The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation?" All creation. It's another one. Can you imagine? I'm just these lyrics just utter. I just can't believe it. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations with an iron fist?" Throw that one in. "Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, perfect sacrifice? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am." What a gift. What a gift from Almighty God. A free gift of salvation. That, like Ray said this morning, I mean, all he's done for us, and you can't believe that he would do that for us, but it had to be done because of our sins. Somebody had to pay the cost for our sins. We had to have our sins washed clean by his blood. And you know, the thing about what we're learning here is there's no shortcuts with the Lord. No shortcuts. He had to bring a perfect sacrifice that we just read. The perfect sacrifice of a lamb. You know, I can't think of any other scripture in the Bible that speaks more effectively to a mother's heart than when Jesus, when he said on that cross, before I get to that, what I'm talking about, standing by the cross where Jesus' mother was, also was his sister, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, and the Apostle John. This is when he was hanging on the cross. And the disciple he loved, John, standing there before he took his last breath, standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son. Take a look at your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. That's pretty interesting to think about that. His last words on the cross was focused on his mother. You know, when he said, "Behold your son," it speaks of us, the love and legacy of Jesus' last interaction with his mother before his death. I mean, that's how close he was to his earthly mother. You know, when I think about, like, say, our church, you know, everybody's mother, everybody's real close to their mothers. Gene, you were close to your mother. Dan and Alana's close to mother. Mary, your kids take care of you. Dana's mother, Jim's mother, Mike's mother. I mean, everybody. Everybody's mother. You see a spiritual connection that you just don't see nowadays. You know, I mean, it's really different. I mean, you think about it. A believer and an unbeliever, I mean, I'm not to say that they don't have any interaction, but, you know, I mean, there's no love for their family or their mothers. The love of a son as Jesus approached his death, hanging in physical torment on a cross. Also, sensual or sensing spiritual separation from God the Father. As he took God's wrath on that cross, but yet kept an eye upon the crowd witnessing his death, his pityness fell upon his mother. Isn't that unbelievable? Mary was hurt. Mary was a hurting mother. She experienced the love and loss of her son at that time. She raised Jesus, worried about Jesus, prayed for Jesus, loved him, followed him during his ministry, and supported him throughout his ministry. And she also supported him through the severe opposition that he took. She knew the burden of motherhood events, and it was related to the Son of God. Mary is the only woman in the world who has ever raised a son who never sinned against her. Although she had sinned against him, he never talked back to her, never disobeyed her, and never disrespected her. You know, Exodus it says, in keeping with biblical injunction, it says to honor one's parents. It says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord God has given you. You know, back in that day in Ezekiel, it says, failure to honor your parents was one of the sins that Ezekiel listed in the description of the people of Jerusalem before the city was destroyed. So it's a sin not to honor your mother and father. Father and mother are treated with contempt. Look at that word, contempt, back then. And the resident alien is exploited in you. The fatherless and the widow are oppressed in you. Look at the word contempt. The word contempt is the feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless or scorning, or deserving scorn, or a disregard for something that should be taken into account, the offense of being disobedient or to be disrespectful. You know, kids nowadays, they just treat their parents like garbage. They have no respect for them. You know, they bring them into this world, they raise them, you know. And a lot of times, it reflects how your relationship is with your kid growing up. I mean, it's because it's the opposite effect. When I had to stop my life, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and take care of my mom and dad, especially my mom all the years, it was a reflection on our relationship. It's a reflection of everybody's relationship. It'll tell you how your relationship is with your mom or your dad. You know, was it a good one or was it a bad one? If it was a bad one, by the time they get to be, they need to be taken care of. Most kids will say, just throw them in a home and that's it. Let them deal with it. But if you had a godly, good family growing up and a good mother, father, you're going to want to do this stuff. I don't regret for a minute doing what I did. I'd do it again. I had a great relationship with your mother, my mom, and my dad. So I've been blessed. I mean, most people don't get that blessing. And when your family doesn't help you out, that's between them and the Lord. It ain't between you, okay? It ain't between you and them. I forgive them. They didn't help. They could have helped, but they didn't help. So what? forget about it. That's between them and the Lord. Everybody's got to stand one day in front of God to give an account for what they've done in their bodies down here, and He'll look at that and He'll deal with that. You know, so for me to get all upset or angry or yell and scream or whatever, but the Lord is with you in troubled times. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I had no fear of that. Was it challenging? Yeah, sure it's challenging. Glenn, Ray's cousin, took care of his mother too. Ray told me stories about that.
Yeah, Helen.
You know, hey, it's how the Lord leads down here, everybody. You know, it's how He leads. It's like, you know, we're His servants, and, you know, He directs. Trust in the Lord all in heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. So He's got a plan for everybody down here. Honoring your mother and father is such a sacred thing. And, you know, another thing it says, whoever strikes his mother or father must be put to death, or whoever causes a mother or father, or curses that a mother or father must be put to death. I mean, those were serious charges back then. Must be put to death. You know, getting back to Luke 11:27 with Jesus, you know, what is true blessedness? This is what true blessedness is. As He was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to Him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you." So He's saying, she's talking about Mary. "And the one who nursed you." Jesus responded, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So we're taking the reflection off of what Mary did for the Lord, and the Lord is bringing it back upon Himself with His word. Amen. Now, Jesus did not deny that His mother was greatly blessed, because she was. Instead, He stated that a person who hears God's word and acts upon it in faith is even more blessed than anyone whose mere family ties to Him. You know, what's interesting about that passage is people think by association, you know, you're good to go. Or, you know, by knowing doesn't or helps somebody out. Using Mary to pray to for intercession. People who pray to her to ask Jesus for help is not good. Not right. We hear a lot of that in the Catholic churches, and I'm not here to, you know, condemn, you know, that. It's not my place to do that. But they do that stuff. And they're not right to do that stuff. You know, they should not do that, because it's a work. And somebody's telling them that they can't go directly to the Lord. They've got to go through somebody else. And that's why they say, hey, intercession, you know, I pray for the Blessed Mother, and I pray for the Rosary. And they're going to go by this stuff, and it's really ridiculous. John 2 says, on the third day there was a wedding. We're going to look at the wedding of Cana right now. This is a good one. This is, you find little nuggets about this right here. On the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with His disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" This is good. "My hour has not yet come." These are prophetic words. Jesus addresses for His mother, "Woman," when He addressed her as the word "woman." People like want to question that. You know, why doesn't He just call her mother? Why does He say "woman"? That's a distinct. It is an expression of polite distance, is what that word means, right? Polite distance. As is His question to her, "My hour has not yet come." In John, Jesus' hour is the time of His what? Crucifixion. That is the main thing that he's focused on, is that. Not this kind of other stuff that's kind of coming and going in life. That's his main focus. That is his main mission in life. You know, at which time his saving work is accomplished in his atoning death. And that's what he was focused on right there. His atoning death on the cross. So what's he saying to Mary when he says, you know, what does this have to do with me? You know, basically, he's basically saying, hey, this is not my problem. There's bigger fish to fry than running out of wine. Right? But he makes that kind of clear as we read that, because, you know, they don't know how to take it. Really, what is it to do with him? He's focusing on the cross. He's focusing on going to the cross. So what he's saying to Mary is, this is not my problem. His purpose was to go to the cross because of misconceptions about the coming Messiah. Jesus chose not to reveal himself openly to Israel. Although he did perform many signs and miracles, John portrays Jesus as the elusive Christ. Jesus' pattern of occasional withdrawal. You ever read in the Bible that, you know, when Jesus is alone, he withdraws from the crowd. He gets on the boat, or he goes to the mountains to pray, to be by himself with the Father. It's elusive. You know, he kind of, you know, it's pretty interesting. He just withdraws from the world. And he gets to be one with the Lord. You know, and we could apply that to our own lives throughout the week or throughout the day, can't we? You know, when things get a little stressed out down here and you're doing this or work or whatever, and, you know, it's just good to do what the Lord does. You know, just kind of take a break, you know, get alone, go into a bedroom, go into your closet, as the Bible would say here. Get somewhere where you're kind of, you know, get away from the crowd, or get away from everyday life, and pray. A lot of times when I come to get my van or whatever next door to go to work, come in here to, you know, check on things in the church, I'll come in here and pray. And you feel good. You feel good about it. You feel that Holy Spirit. And it's good to pray throughout the day. Many times, you know. Pray without ceasing, it says. But when you can get alone and get away from everybody, it's even better, because you're one with the Lord and He hears your prayers. Also, his realism about people's true motives. Because Jesus sees that, and his ability to elude his enemies. Jesus was elusive right till his death, you know, when they tried to get him, tried to kill him. You know, he knew what to do and where to go to avoid it until that appointed time and day. Mary tells the servants, we're going back to verse 5 about the water and the wine. She says, Mary tells the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. Now, if you think about that, why would Mary say that? You know why? I was thinking about this because Mary knew he could do miracles. Right? Why is it that so important? Because this is when he starts his ministry. This is when his ministry truly starts, right? And if you think about it, how many miracles did Mary see in his 30 years before his ministry actually started? Can you imagine living with Jesus for 30 years? Or 30, it would be total 33. But being around him and just seeing stuff that you could blow your mind. You know, if you think about it, you know, how many miracles did Mary really see? Did Jesus do in his 30 years that he did privately? Can you imagine what she witnessed? I like that. She had to know he was the Christ, or she wouldn't have said that powerful statement to whatever he said. You think about it, right? Something to think about. Again, we too should do whatever he tells us to do. So we can apply that scripture, that passage, to our lives. The Lord doesn't explain how he intends to deal with our problems. He simply calls us to obey. Trust and obey him. His holy word. Once we do that, we have a deeper meaning with the Creator. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, but every what? Word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the basis of life. This miracle of transformation, turning water to wine, points to the drastic changes in people's lives. When they believe and come to Christ, they're born again. You know, and Dan said earlier, we all have kind of like a past, no matter what level it is. You know, when you're born again, you're a different person. You're a different man. And it points to the drastic changes. How he turned water into wine is like being somebody that was dead to sin, in sin, and needed a Savior, and become born again and being washed and cleansed. You're a brand new person. You're born again. You're not the old nature, you're a new nature. You know, that's why we're not to look down on people. You know, we were once that way. We were messed up, and we needed the Lord. But when we come to Him and find Him, it's a true blessing. It really is. I mean, you can't beat it. I mean, you're brand new. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, God can look upon you and see His Son's blood upon your sins, cleansing that. See, people think it's a big joke. They think it's a big joke to die and not going to stand before God one day. And, you know, and have His wrath be poured upon them, because they'll be dead in their sins. They have not believed for the forgiveness of sins, so they'll die in their sins, and that'll be it. Lights out. People think it's a big joke. You know, you're going to either hear at the end of your life a well done, or you barely made it, or depart from me. One of those three. You're going to hear it. You don't want to hear the last two. You want to hear a well done. To the unbelievers, you're going to hear a depart from me. To the ones with smoke on their vest, they're going to hear you barely made it, or we talk about that. The miracle of transformation, as I said, turning man into wine. The first miracle Jesus does teaches us a valuable lesson. Jesus can provide our needs. Look at that. You know, when he did do that, it saved the whole wedding. Because that's a good thing. And, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's a celebration. And he's all for it. So he saved the day, basically. They ran out. And those weddings, I think, they go on for a week. Ray, right? I don't know. They go on for many. 10 days, 2 weeks, or maybe even longer. Plus, it isn't like one night or something. It's probably at least that, you know. Jesus can provide our needs. We may not always get what we want, though. But you know what? When we turn to the Lord, our needs are met so we can pursue a deeper relationship with Him. He never gives us always what we always want, but He gives us what we need. You know, be careful of your wants. You know, just go with your needs. You know, I like what the Bible scripture says. The Lord teaches us to learn to be content in all things, whether you have little or much. Some people have a lot. Some people don't have a lot. But the Lord provides. So that's all you need to focus on. But he says to learn to be content in all things. The Lord, I like this one. Job says, the Lord gives, the Lord, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because we're only down here for just a short time anyway, so we don't own anything down here, realistically. Our money, our cars, our houses, our jewelry, or, you know, whatever. It's just on a loan, and he can call it back in any time he wants to. But focusing on him and being close to him and growing in the Lord daily is the way to go about life. Trust in the Lord. Absolutely. You know, I like this one. The lesson with that water and the wine is a good one. It says, pay less attention to the wine and focus on the winemaker. Focus on Jesus. Because he is the way, he is the truth, he is the light. No man will come to him except through Jesus. So the focus is on Jesus. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him daily. Keep that in your thoughts. That's what it's all about. You're right on time, Bernard.
How are you, brother?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm ready to close, brother. How you doing? Bernard's doing better, guys. Right, Bernard?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? You living back around with the church here?
Yeah.
Good.
You're free.
That's good. The Lord answers prayer we've been praying for, so that's good.
I appreciate all y'all that.
Yep. That's good. We'll keep praying for you. So, as we go out this Mother's Day, we think of what Mary did. We thank the Lord for using her to bring forth our Savior. Because without that, we wouldn't be saved. We have a holy God that loves us and cares for us and looks after us. And she brought forth the perfect sacrifice. And all we have to do is believe that, accept that into our hearts and know that. And possess that. You know? And then there's no fear of death. Everybody's, you know, people are dying left and right. And a lot of them are afraid to die. We should hear that. We know where we're going to go. We know where we're going to be for eternity. That's all that matters. Right? Amen? Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us out today on this Mother's Day, Lord. We pray that you bless all these mothers out there and kids and let them reflect you. And we're just blessed to have mothers, Lord. You know, I'm just thankful for my mother that you put me in charge of for them years. And I miss her. Can't wait to see her again. And we pray for the broken families that the mothers and the daughters and, you know, they disrespect each other, and I pray you put in their hearts what value a true mother has, and, you know, to take advantage of the mothers of while they're alive down here, Lord. You know, just we're not, everybody assumes that they're going to live and do this, and they can be mistreating to them and disrespectful, and, you know, that's just not the case. So we pray for the mothers out there, Lord, that you just bless them today. And just thank you for all they do for each and every one of us. And pray for Bernard right now, too, Lord. Pray for David Matthews, Lord, coming back in a couple weeks. Pray for Kathleen, too, Lord. It was good to see her out today. Kenny brought her out. Pray for Kenny and, you know, hey, you know, the good word doesn't go come back void. So hopefully she heard something today to spark her ambition. And with that as well. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. Bless us as we continue to go about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Let's follow up with Luke 6:72. Now, last week, one we finished the stick time in 2 minutes. So I don't think we want to run by.
That's after 2 months, you know.
Please go back.
Thank you.